What's up?
Do you guys get a lot of people calling in?
No.
Not really.
Listen. RyeBreadRadio.com.
Maybe you will tonight.
Ooh.
RyeBread Radio is just a show broadcasting from Chicago.
Show. This is, of course, The Bread. I'm your host, Akeem. Brian Sweeney McGillicuddy, the turd, is here. How are you, bud?
I'm Brian Sweeney.
Yes, you are,
I'm
man.
Doing very well. Thank you
for coming into the study, dude. I thought I wasn't going to see you today.
No, I have no idea why.
You said your car collapsed, right?
Nope.
Into itself.
I said this as I was already in here. So I said that my car battery. My car has died.
Yeah, outside. It collapsed into itself, right, or something like that.
It's a quantum singularity. That's what happens with these old Buicks.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We're gonna get y'all fixed up. We're actually gonna get Exhibit on the horn. We're gonna have him come in here before the end of this show.
Exhibit doesn't do roadside assistance. He is more of an outer layer, man. And I just need the red and the black wire things, and that's all I would need Exhibit for. Yeah. And he's in like California.
It sucks that this wasn't a bit that you were running. I honestly thought because we were broadcasting live that you were running a bit, but unfortunately you're not. Brian's car needs to be jumped. So if you guys are listening, please help him out. He needs it.
In honor of Mac Daddy passing away.
Who's the Mac Daddy?
Crisscross guy.
Oh, dude, that happened like last week, man.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now I'm paying tribute by needing a jump. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, that was a good one.
I got to warm up my car.
I'll give you that one, man.
Because I missed the bus. See all these amazing crisscross puns.
But we got a big show ahead of you guys on this particular podcast. Joining us in the studio, we have a local funny person, Irene Marquette Eckstein is here. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. I'm just Irene Marquette. Nice.
What's that?
I'm just Irene Marquette.
Okay, well, are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, well, then I guess I'll... bleep that out?
No, it's fine.
Okay. Should I not say that?
No, it's fine. It's my married name, but I usually just go by Irene Marquette.
Okay. All right. Brian, you suck at notes.
It was more complete. It was more, I'm complete.
You're right. It was. He did extra work.
Brian loves complete. Like, he loves everything to be complete. He loves his trilogies to be complete. When Men in Black they stopped at the second one for about like 2 years, he was like, hey, when are they going to do a third?
Yes.
He was so ecstatic when they came out with the third iteration of Men in Black.
I think everyone was. But yes, that's just because I hate even numbers. So if you don't have an odd number, if you're going to make movies, they better be three of them.
Yeah.
Or else I'm not going to see them.
I actually prefer even numbers.
Me too. I mean, I don't know what Akeem's talking about, but...
Well, so now you're changing, you're switching things up on me, buddy?
Well, like, 3 came out, I think, 11 years after the second one. It wasn't like they had some grand scheme.
No.
It was just like, hey, I know how to make money, and then so they decided to do it.
Well, actually, I saw one of those things by someone that reports stuff. An interview.
A journalist?
I saw an interview by a journalist that was done on the director of the movie, and he said, well, I just saw some guy that looked like Tommy Lee Jones, and I was like, we need to make a sequel to the second one. That's end quote.
Mm-hmm. Barry Sonnenfeld said this?
look it up!
But
that's
it
exactly
wasn't,
what happened.
So he didn't see Tommy Lee Jones.
No,
he saw
a dude that was a young version of
him. Josh Brolin.
Yeah, he
Isn't
saw Josh Brolin.
Him?
Yeah, he was like, oh, you could play a young.
Yeah, he's like, excuse me, sir, man, you won't be in a movie. Well, I've been in movies before. Okay, you're going to be in a movie.
Well, I've been nominated for Academy Awards, so I guess so. I am the son-in-law of Barbara Streisand.
L.A. is a beautiful place. That's how most conversations about movies get started.
This happened in New York.
Okay.
Yes. I feel like Barry Sonnenfeld, he's so intrinsic to New York that this all took place in New York as Josh Brolin walked by.
Okay, I'll give you that.
That's what I read from the same journalist.
But our guest today is Irene Marquette. We're sticking with that. We're sticking with it.
Thank you so much.
I want to thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
She's like the Beatles where they can't wear their wedding rings.
Uh-huh. She has my wedding ring.
No, she has that on.
She has to make sure that the teeny boppers and stuff still like you.
Teeny boppers?
Yeah.
We got teeny boppers listening to our show?
Are there teeny boppers?
There are. There's teeny boppers.
Are they awake at this hour?
They are.
It's a podcast.
There's Bobby Soxers that are right outside. Hearing about Irene, we have to have police holding them back.
But no, Irene, you've done a few things. I saw you in a small little sketch by one of the puppets of Felt.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
I was looking for Felt-related material because I just got into this whole puppetry thing recently. This is a recent thing that just happened to me.
Uh-huh.
I just got struck by the puppet lightning. So I started looking up puppet stuff, and I was like, you know what, man? The Felt is a good thing. I want to check it out.
Yes.
And so I went to the Felt YouTube.
Sure.
And I saw you.
You did see me.
With the glasses on the face.
That
I was like, who is this? And then I looked at the credits. That was you. What? Why?
Why what?
I had it on mute. I just wanted to look at puppets.
Because he's also, his love of puppetry, but he also has a love of learning lip reading. And so these are just two tastes that go great together.
You are,
and so that's what he's been doing, but he's terrible at it. So he's like, I have no idea what just happened.
Yeah,
because you can't read the lips of puppets, as Akeem sadly found out.
Yeah, I know, because it's all the same syllable. It's all na 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 na. So I don't know what was being said. I know you were saying stuff that was very audible.
Oh, good. I think I only said one thing.
Yeah,
but that's okay. Mostly, I'm just sitting there reading.
Are you a part? You're part of the whole IO legacy, I guess, because you take part in the whole Star Wars thing.
You do Wars a couple. Thing. Well, okay. So back to your first question, the Felt thing. I work in the office at IO. I'm the assistant manager there.
Oh, nice.
And Caesar is in Felt, and he was filming those promos, and he popped into the office and he said, hey, do you want to film something real quick for a minute? And I was like, yeah, sure. What do I have to do? So that was, I mean, it was a minute. That's the fun thing about working at IO.
You never know what you might land yourself in.
You never know what might happen with your day while you're working. So yeah, I work there, and then I'm also on a group called Superhuman that performs Sunday nights. And then I do improvised Star Trek.
Okay, now back up. Now the name of the group is Superhumans?
Yeah, Superhuman.
Okay.
It's 10 women, and we're crazy.
Okay, is this a good thing?
It's a great thing. It's the greatest thing.
Isn't that like normal women, though? They're all crazy, aren't they?
No.
We're all crazy people.
Well, sure, if we're saying everybody's crazy, then.
We all have our quirks, is that it? And then when you get superpowers, they're... But then you have to make the decision of whether you become a supervillain or superhero.
So is this...
We're just superhuman.
Is this steeped in actual superhero lore? Like, do you have powers? Like,
We have the power of strength and attitude.
So you guys are like the Spice Girls?
I guess maybe the Spice
Girls. Like 10 spices. There are 10 spices that exist.
Yeah, there were 5 that they just cut.
Yeah, we found 10, and we're all so nuanced we can't even name ourselves.
Oh. You're multifaceted Spice Girls.
We are. We're women. We're super
with
human
a Y?
Women. Sure, yes.
Cool.
Yeah, we're very strong and independent.
Multifaceted
women
Spice Women.
Yeah.
Buddy. That's a comma.
Okay.
Buddy.
We do something different every week.
Uh-huh.
Last week, for example, we shot a video for a pizza party that's going to come out soon, but we stayed in our costumes, and then we did an improv show as if all those characters took an improv class together.
Yeah.
So we just, this week we're doing something to honor Mother's Day. We've honored Stevie Nicks in the past. We did a show where we all dressed like trolls and gremlins.
So wait a minute.
That's what you think of Stevie Nicks, huh?
You think he's a mean
troll? Gee.
No, we think she's a witch. We're all witches.
She's
so
a gypsy.
I'm confused. Wait a minute. You were invited to a pizza party.
We made a pizza. It's a video about a pizza party. Like a wine tasting, but a pizza party. You know, everyone brought their own pizza. We talked about the flavors and the smells, the different textures. We spit out every bite into a bucket, you know, like a wine tasting.
And this is coming out soon on the YouTubes?
Yes.
The IO YouTube page?
Um,
is it kind of gross? Like, it sounds kind of like they're just spitting out of pizza.
It was disgusting.
I don't think they're chewing it. I think they just bite it and they're just like, blah.
Oh, no. They're chewing it too? Fully masticated.
The beginning, the first one, when you throw that or spit it, that, I'm not saying that's
100%
gross, but once you have, by the tenth woman, once
the bucket is full,
do you force someone... Like a jackass.
To drink it? Like, do you call Steve-O? What's that? Can I drink
that? I'll tell you what. Nobody had to be forced.
Oh. That means someone did.
Someone's like, hey.
All of them.
Somebody ate it. Not all of us.
That's awesome.
It was great. It was really
fun.
That
is adorable to hear.
Yeah, there was a dog on set.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Her name was Peppa.
Wait a minute. Whose dog is that? Is that What's-Her-Face's dog? I know What's-Her-Face has a dog.
Who is What's-Her-Face?
Is that woman that owns the IO?
Kelly Ripa.
No, not her. She has a dog. She's got three dogs. Yeah. There's four dogs in the office. Usually, at maximum capacity, there's five dogs in the office.
Yeah, her dog bit me.
Which one?
I don't know. One that was like touching me. Mm. I was interviewing her, and I was like, "Sweet dog." He said, "Woof," and then he bit me.
Hmm. You were interviewing the
unprovoked.
Dog?
Is this no?
And he's like, "Can we get a statement?" He's like, "Woof."
When did you interview Sharna?
Oh, this was years ago. Back when I was a college student. This was years ago. I still have the footage.
Are you gonna make a documentary?
Yeah. Well, we were covering that team that's named after the Beach Boys. It's a Wednesday night show.
Oh, Carl and the Passions.
Yeah, we were covering that show, and I was like, "Hey, man, I'm Akeem, and we're here at Isle."
You had a really weird voice.
Come check it out.
This is before puberty.
Because it's a free show, right? So we were telling the students like, "Hey, these are free shows at the Round Town," and so I was like, "Hey, Sharna, how are you?" Woof. And then like the dog bit me, and
yeah.
I haven't been bitten by any of those dogs, but I'm not much of a dog person, so I kind of keep my distance. And
except for Pepper, you really enjoyed
Peppa. Well, I didn't touch Peppa, but I appreciated her.
Oh, are you like distance. You're one of those where you don't even like to touch though? Like, are they germy?
I mean, they are kind of germy, but that's not. I don't know. I didn't grow up around dogs. They're kind of scary to me.
Oh, did you have a bad experience?
Bit by a dog when I was a kid, but it wasn't serious.
Oh.
I don't know.
Do you
I
like
just,
cats? Are you a cat person?
Yeah, cats are fine, but I'm not like a cat person. I just don't think I'm much of a pet person.
No.
So you don't have any pets roaming your house?
I don't.
Keeping it safe from strangers.
I keep my house safe from strangers.
Yeah. Really? You're an animal?
Her and the nine other superpower women are flying around.
Yeah, superhuman. We're on Facebook, Superhuman Power.
So tell us about this improvised Star Trek thing. I'm no stranger to this improvised Star Trek thing. I first found out about you all
5 minutes ago.
Years ago. No, years ago. There is a guy, I forget his name, he works for Time Out Chicago. He did a story on a bunch of podcasts, comedy podcasts in Chicago, and we were one of the podcasts mentioned in it. And I remember him, it was more so like we were just an afterthought. He was like, in honor of improvised Star Trek, I decided to check out some other comedy podcasts locally. I was like, that's kind of weird. And he didn't really talk too much about improvised Star Trek. So I don't know if it was, if you all approached him like, hey man, listen here, Jason, can you write an article about us? He's like, well, you haven't premiered yet. Okay, man, I don't know, peep something else. Okay, cool. So I don't know why he did it.
I don't know either.
But it was weird.
It was nice.
And everyone that got a review, it was kind of like one of those backhanded things, one of those backhanded reviews. Because he listened to one episode of each. He's never heard of any of us, any of those podcasts he listened to. So what he thinks our podcast is, I remember, he thinks we talk about nothing but Transformers and poop. Because he listened to one episode with Bill Cruz.
What do you want him to do?
Well, he shouldn't have listened to that episode.
Just sit there and listen to like 27 episodes?
I don't know. I just wish he didn't listen to that one. Because
that was the Transformer poop. Bill Cruz spectacular. That's what everyone talks about.
No, it was I was pretending to be a Decepticon.
Of course.
You know, that just pooped.
Of course.
And he was like, my poop, it's transforming.
Ah.
And as he flushed it down the toilet.
I hate to bring this up, but in trying not to talk about Transformers and poop, you are definitely talking about Transformers.
Yeah,
and poop.
See what you've done?
It's one of those meta things, though.
Yes, it is. Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that improvised Star Trek brings up such a hard.
Why would
hard
you?
Time.
Why would you say sorry? Who said that was hard? That was not hard.
Oh, you see him, but you seem like you hated the review. And
no, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
What do you mean? How did I hate it?
Oh, I don't know. It seemed like you were upset about Jason.
I always would see improvised Star Trek. They had great posters always around IO when they had,
my husband made those posters. I just banged my face into the microphone.
Oh, yes, scared me, actually. There's one that's just it's a regular 8x10 sheet, but he drew in small boxes every single, well, probably not every single, but all like major races of the alien races of the Star Trek universe. And it would be like improvised Star Trek, and it was like midnight on Saturdays. And I was always jealous. I still am jealous. I'm always jealous of like improvised Star Trek, because just anything Star Trek is great.
It's really fun.
Yeah, it is. I listened to it.
So how do you become a part of this whole thing? Like, I mean, how did this all, like, were you just sitting around the house as fans of Star Trek and like we should?
They're like, we already have the uniforms and we're just sitting here. Well, let's get Sharna on the horn.
No, because this is very niche. I mean, this is the thing. Like, not everyone, you might be an amazing improviser, but, you know, I don't know. I would assume some knowledge of Star Trek would have to.
I feel like that was
why. Trapped up in your head.
When it was Saturday before, or Saturdays at midnight, but this is before the J.J. Abrams reboot. So perhaps after 2009, things got better. Or not better, but like more. Oh, wait, but it was always sort of a sold-out show regardless, kind of, right? Like,
yes.
Saturday at midnight's at IO in Chicago, if you don't know. Like, that's actually, like, prime time slot.
We still do that slot the fourth Friday of every month. So we actually have two shows this month. There's the 24th, and then the fifth Friday of the month, the 31st, because there's a Next Generation reunion in town that day. Mm. So that's a fun fact. But to answer your question, how did it get started? My husband Griffin and I used to live in Las Vegas, and we were actors on the Star Trek Experience ride.
Awesome.
And Griffin has always been a fan, and I've always been a fan. And he and a friend of ours, Charlie McCracken, who was he's a part of The Reckoning, and he and Griffin were talking about coming up with that kind of show, like a late night cult kind of show. It would be so fun to perform in that universe.
Yeah.
So, you know, they thought about it and they cast it, and we rehearsed, and then we started that late night run. And when the run ended, we really liked performing together. So the thought was, how can we keep doing this? How can we like branch out to a wider audience? And then the idea of the podcast came about. And then we worked on that for a while before we actually started releasing those episodes, figuring out how to record it right and add in the sound effects and everything. Do the editing afterwards. So it's been about 2 years since we've been doing that. And we recorded a, coming out of one of the episodes, we had a woman sing Kiss Me, that Sixpence None the Richer song. She sings it in Klingon. And we put it in one of the episodes. And then we made a music video for it. And we just passed 100,000 views.
Was it is she part of the Klingon Christmas Carol?
She is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in one of the episodes, one of the episodes took place at a prom, and someone in the scene mentioned that song was on in the background. So we thought, wouldn't it be fun to actually have that song? So we asked if they would be interested in translating it and performing it, and they were. So it was a collaboration between two like ultimate nerd groups.
They should really. A long time ago.
In like, a galaxy far, far away. Yeah,
no, but no, because this is in the future. But like 15, might have been 20 years ago, they made the Klingon Shakespeare.
Oh yeah,
and then that was a bit because in Star Trek VI, he's like a big General Chang is all about Shakespeare, and so like they did that. But I feel like they really needed to do pop songs, just a sort of
Klingon pop songs,
like now Klingon.
Yeah, now that's what I call music, yeah, Klingon.
Except
now that's what I call Klingon music.
Yeah,
that's what
it'd be. Except it would be like Kaplakis in God.
So are there any? So how intense are the costumes? I'm trying to find, like, I want to see a Klingon. Does anyone dress up as a Klingon in this whole project here?
Yeah, sometimes if you go to our Facebook page, you'll see a lot of the pictures from shows, and you know when we're doing the live show, because it's all improvised. we don't know what kind of characters we're going to end up playing. Okay. So some of like the Klingon, we have like small props that we can use to indicate different alien life forms, but we don't have like full costumes for it. Not yet. Not yet. We're working on a budget.
So what type of an audience comes to see this show? Like what type of nerd factor do you see in the audience?
And how do you, there's actually something you get in for free, right?
If you're in a costume.
Yeah, if you dress up in a costume, you get in for free.
Yes.
Are there people that half-ass costumes?
Oh, sometimes.
Like are just wearing a t-shirt that looks like that has Star Trek on it or something?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I guess I don't know what our actual official policy is. Maybe that just comes down to the box office. What's their call in terms of what constitute a costume versus a fan t-shirt? But yeah, we have all different types of fans come. We usually see a lot of familiar faces from show to show, people who listen to the podcast and want to see us in person, and improvisers, friends of ours, people who are just like casually into Star Trek. We try to be really accessible in that way, so you don't have to know anything about Star Trek to enjoy it. It's also just like a goofy midnight improv show. Mm-hmm. So we try to walk that line.
Yeah, I'm looking at the pictures now. I know some of these nerds on stage.
I bet you do.
I've met some of them. I've never called them nerds to their face.
Well,
this is so cool. I didn't know they were nerds. That's why.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
We live in plain sight.
Are you the only? Okay, there's another girl.
There's two others. Yeah. Mary-Kate Walthall and Julia Weiss.
Yeah, Julia Weiss is a new inductee, right?
She
just started.
Yes.
So how does someone audition for this? Like, they come in, you guys hold auditions, and I'm a good improviser. And then, like, do they start spouting out facts about Star Wars?
We actually...
It's Star Trek.
Star Trek, first of all. You fail. sorry. We don't do auditions. It's pretty much the same group that we started with all those years ago. We started in 2010 doing the live show, and the people that we've added have been Nick Wagner, and he's been with us for... I mean, he feels like he's part of the beginning.
Yeah.
It's been so long. And Mary-Kate has been along with us for a long time, and then Julia is the newest. But... we'll have guest stars come in, and that's usually folks that we ask to play with us. Yeah.
Like, do you have, like, Tim Meadows? I hear he's a big Star Wars fan.
We would love to have Tim Meadows.
Okay, why are you... why do you keep... isn't that the same thing?
No.
What?
No.
Do they not fight on Star Trek?
No.
They Wait, don't... they
do
don't...
they fight?
Yes.
They fight on every single...
Do they rage wars against other aliens?
One takes place in the distant past... In a galaxy far, far away. The other one takes place in a future time in our galaxy.
I'm pretty sure the Millennium Falcon
in the Milky Way
has been bumping uglies with that damn thing that they fly in Star Trek.
The Enterprise?
Yeah.
The Defiant?
Yeah.
The Voyager? Well, Voyager's in the Delta.
Only one, right? They can't all exist at the same time, can they?
Yes, there's an entire Federation. And then
I like how passionate you are about this.
Well, I mean, it's like, what? You think there's just like the Enterprise... and they're like, well, it's just us, guys. We're just flying around in space for no apparent reason.
Well, let me put it this way. People in Star Trek are aware of Star Wars because Star Wars is part of American culture.
Yeah.
People in Star Trek in the future would recognize Star Wars as being a ancient Earth fable that people enjoyed for centuries.
Yes. What they do, though, is... they would never sort of do that with pop culture.
We do it on improvised Star Trek, yeah.
And on Voyager, Tom Paris did his stupid little serials thing. But like they mostly stick with Shakespeare and Charles Dickens.
Or like Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, because they're like, those will never go out of style. Whereas, and also, if Star Trek is just like, you look like Chewbacca. Like, it would just, you'd just be like, oh.
Then they'd get sued.
You look like a hairless Chewbacca.
Yes. Hey, that was not bad.
Wait a minute. So what you're trying to say then is in the Star Trek universe, they think Star Wars is fictional?
Yes, of course.
What the hell is this?
Here's what doesn't make
sense. I'll tell you right now. To Star Wars, Star Trek doesn't even exist yet. More of a slight than not to than being considered fictional.
They wouldn't.
That's like saying that cavemen didn't know that you exist.
Yeah.
They did. There was a time warp.
Jerks.
Fred Flintstone met George Jetson. He's like, hey, man, you exist. Yes, I do.
But apparently the X-Men movies can't exist because, or possibly all of X-Men can't exist. And like, American Dad and Family Guy or whatever, because Kevin Bacara would be like, what the hell? Because he's Professor X.
There are multi-universes,
see,
though.
This is the
multiverse,
this
man.
This is what
string
happens.
Theory.
Yes, but this is also the problem. See, there's an episode of Step by Step that Urkel's on.
Yeah.
And there's also an episode of Full House that Urkel comes in and he teaches Stephanie that wearing glasses is cool. I don't know how Urkel is the one that's going to be like, hey, it's cool because I wear them. But then there's an episode of Step by Step where John Stamos appears as John Stamos. And it's like, wait, you can't do that. These worlds are falling apart.
Is that when he's playing drums for the Beach Boys?
That was on Full House. And that was another thing, because John Stamos played drums for the Beach Boys, but so did Uncle Jesse. See, this is why theoretical physics is just people just bashing their heads against walls and just saying stuff.
But all these things are possible. I mean, that's the thing. Like, with the multiverse, all these things are made possible, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that someone kind of screwed up time by traveling in the past. And I like to think that it was the...
Wait, that's what you think the multiverse theory is? Somebody went back in time and then screwed everything up?
It was the Doc from Back to the Future. He screwed up the past and the future. He didn't have to travel to either and then grab Marty. Hey, Marty, come on, man. Let's go travel to the future.
Yeah,
he didn't have to do that.
Okay, he didn't have to say, Marty, we got to do something about your kids, because he could have easily just stopped
Marty
Jr. and talked to him for like a half an hour. And then he wouldn't have gotten into a fight with Biff. And the big thing that he had to do was stop him from going to jail. And then in the end of part three, he's just like, the future hasn't been written. Why?
Nobody has.
That doesn't even make sense, though.
Look, but the future is what you make it. So why don't you just make it a good one?
Right. Good advice. Good advice.
You like that, Brian?
Also, the present is a present.
Yes.
But that is not in any of the movies. They have never said that. He wouldn't say that.
No one enjoys
it. They would think he was a hack if
Irene said it.
Yeah. Kanye says, my presence is a present. Kiss my ass.
Well, yeah, but you don't have to kiss. It's a suggestion to kiss his ass.
Yeah. Well, I think it's more.
Kiss the present?
Of a, yeah. Yes. Grab it by the horns.
Sorry to go off on that tangent, listeners, but you guys know how passionate we get about time travel on this show. And I would really love for a clash between those two. Because you can't have a war without a trek.
That makes no sense.
What do you mean? Think about it.
All you need is there's fan fiction everywhere. Where
there's no fan fiction
in Star Wars.
I looked it up. There's nothing but like Luke Skywalker having sex with Captain Kirk. I don't want to see that type of stuff.
Okay,
slash fiction?
Yeah, I'm sure that does exist, but
that's all I've been finding.
Because look,
I think that's slash fiction.
Yes, that is slash fiction. In fact, slash fiction. It's not, aside from it, I think like the main roots of slash fiction were for Kirk and Spock, just people wanting to write about them having sex. And that there,
yeah.
And boom. And now we have Wincest in Supernatural, where the brothers have sex with each other.
And with Cass.
Well, the Dusty L.
What is that?
Cass.
What are you
on Supernatural, they're two brothers and.
In the
fan fiction, they yes.
That's what most of those fan fictions are about. I don't know, for some strange reason, women, those women nerds, I see a lot of them commenting on that stuff. They get a kick out of seeing two guys making out with each other.
50 Shades of Grey started out as Twilight fan fiction,
disgusting.
Sexual fan fiction.
That's the weirdest to me.
The fact that
It's sold over
70 million copies, most of them to women. Like, I'm like, I don't understand. Why is this happening? Why?
I don't know.
Like, you can't complain about guys playing video games anymore.
Well, these are two separate matters.
Yes. I suppose so. But 50 Shades of Grey is just terrible.
I don't know. I still respect it as an anthology.
An anthology.
I think
it's a trilogy. Your favorite.
Yeah, I know. Why can't I consider it an anthology? I like using that word instead of trilogy.
Okay.
Can I please?
I think an anthology is disparate things that come in together in a compilation, like short stories.
Yeah.
Like Tales from the Crypt.
As much as true.
Yes.
Which I saw recently.
which is very just good. A regular episode, which I saw recently. Yeah. I don't mean to brag, yeah. but I watched an episode of Tales from the Crypt.
I used to love Tales from the Crypt.
Suck on that. Yeah,
no, actually, it was the movie, the one with Dennis Miller,
Bordello of Blood.
Yeah. Ooh, and Snoop Dogg.
And Corey. Yeah. Snoop wasn't.
Oh, he's from Tales from the Hood.
Yes, and no, he's from Bones. I think is what I you're think thinking was... of.
The TV series. No, he's not Tales from Bones.
Tales from the Hood has Curtis Von D. Hall as the. As the mortician, and he tells the story of the three black people. I think
Angie Everhart in?
That's Bordello of Blood, and Corey Feldman's in as well. And but Snoop Dogg does have like Snoop's Hood of Horror or something like that, and so does Flava Flav. He just has like Flav's where they all just sort of are the Crypt Keeper.
Yeah.
But they're just in the worst, most terrible things possible.
I would hope that all of his puns were clock related. Like, looks like time's run out.
that's not how he'd talk. He'd be like, boy. And then so like he couldn't, and he'd be like, looks like time's ran out. And so he can't be like, looks like he got a little squeamish.
Unless he's trying to stretch his acting chops. He could.
I would like to see him do that.
I would like to see I think it's John Kassir who does the voice for the Crypt Keeper, just do the voice for Flavor Flav and have Flav just mouth it.
Is he still alive?
Flavor Flav or
no, the Crypt Keeper? The Crypt Keeper guy.
Yeah.
Yes, he does those Six Flag commercials.
He's a dancing old man?
He's a dancing old man.
That's him? That's awesome.
Interesting tidbit. Well, maybe. He was the voice of Roger Rabbit.
Oh, was he really?
He was. Please. He is.
Really?
Yeah.
The voice of Roger Ebert.
Roger, yes. Oh, no.
That was actually Robert's real voice in the computer eyes. But before Robert.
Thumbs down. Please. You too.
Yeah.
I just watched Who Framed Roger Rabbit the other day.
Wow.
Nice. That's way better than Bordello.
That's.
Yes.
That one's way better.
Minor Complex.
Did you watch
I saw that Butter movie. That is a good movie. I thought it was a good movie.
I haven't seen the movie, but it's a thing where when you hear about something, when you learn about it from the first time, then like in the next week you'll hear it. You'll hear like five people talk about it, and you'll be like, "Why is it what?" It's a phenomenon.
Do-do-do-do-do.
Yes.
Phenomenon.
We got a lot. We got a lot to talk about still that I want to cover in my notes. We might get to this one segment I want to get to. I'm not sure. I didn't give out the number, but if you guys are watching this live, you guys know the number already, so you can call in.
Where's the camera?
The camera's right there.
Oh, hello.
Camera's right over there. I have been a bad host, so I'm going to do what I should have been doing. I'm going to play these commercials. We'll be right back. Just a quick commercial break, and there'll be more of the bread.
You like mutants? Well, check out Atomic Pizzeria, home of
Mutant Mondays.
If you remember and admire the mutant culture of the 80s and 90s, these blister pack illustrations are gonna kick ass. Check them the fuck out at facebook.com/Atomic Pizzeria. That's ATOMUKK.
Pizzeria.
These guys are the shit. Mutant Mondays
at Atomic Pizzeria.
It's Rye Bread Radio on KDX Radio AM frequency in St. Louis, Missouri. You love it, don't you? KDX.com on the Rye Bread Radio Network. This is real f***ing radio.
With Spunk Lube, you get the best of both worlds. Lube that lasts long and cleans up easy. You won't know if you're coming or going. So get spunked up with Spunk Lube. Visit www.spunklube.com. Come get some. Spunklube.com.
Blackberry balls, shawty is sack.
We'll be right back. welcome Big Today. That's right. It's the bread. We are broadcasting live at this moment inside of the Rye Bread, blah, 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 blah. Remember when I used to say that, folks, back in episode number 5? Our guest today is Irene Marquette. She is a comedy camp in person. She's an improviser. She does improvised Star Trek here in Chicago. How are you, Irene?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you for sticking around. You could have left.
Could I?
You could have. That's the point of commersh.
Oh, I had no idea.
When it's time for the commersh, that means you could actually disperse.
Well, how long is it until the next commercial?
Oh, there is no more. We have reached the halfway mark.
Can I use the bathroom?
Can I use the lavatory? Brian Sweeney, too.
I am here, and I know Star Trek, aside from Star Wars.
Yes.
I saw you were like, you're on improvised. And everything in your brain said Star Wars.
No.
But you were
you
like,
want to know what it really said?
Stargate?
No. Stargate.
Shakespeare.
SG-1.
Oh,
Xena?
No.
It actually said Shakespeare.
You're an
improvised Shakespeare.
Improvised Shakespeare.
Shout
thing.
Out to those guys. They were with me back before this show was actually called Rye Bread. They were guests on my show. Love
back
those
when
guys.
It was called Shake?
No,
Bread?
No, it was just a public access show that
back
I did
it was
for radio.
The Bard Bread.
I had a public access show when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aren't they fun?
On TV. Yeah.
They were, well, all mine was not on television. It was radio.
That's awesome.
I was like, hey guys, how's it going? So joining us today, and I had a woman that had, I think she had your job way back when. I had a lot of IO people on my show way back when.
Joel Olson?
No.
Rachel Mason?
Yes.
She used to run
name.
The training center.
Yeah. That's her name. I remember her. Does she still exist? She's
oh,
still
of course
lingering
she,
around there?
Yes, she is still human. She exists. She's alive. Yeah. She has a son.
Like one of the
she's
top
wonderful.
Three, four, top 10 improvisers, top 5 improvisers.
According
in,
to
in Chicago,
according to Brian Sweeney
according
magazine,
to, like what? According to Wikipedia,
she has a wiki.
Yes.
Oh, swag.
I don't know.
But I want to thank you for sticking around.
Oh, of
Irene.
Course, my pleasure.
You too, Brian. You have no choice. Your car is broke.
Yeah.
That thing is broke, man. But I'm reading my notes here. I see something very interesting that would really excite Brian's mom because she is a. She's a rap artist.
Oh, she is.
Yep.
What's her name? Her code name?
Mom Z.
Momsy.
Yeah.
Momsy's going coming up to the turntable.
Good
table.
Name.
She's
name.
Like, clean up your room.
Huh? And then you would return with a hat. But no, it says here you performed in a show with a Ghostface Killer.
I did.
Now, this is a man who kills ghosts
he
that
does.
Have faces. So Casper is dead.
I thought he had a ghost face and he was killing people.
Yeah, he was stinky.
Ghostface, he in the beginning of the Wu-Tang Clan, he would wear a
Casper mask?
Like a nylon mask because he was wanted for several crimes. And that's why he wore them in the original music videos for the Wu-Tang Clan.
Interesting.
RZA has called him old dirty bastard with a better lawyer.
Huh. So you were one of four Wu-Tang sex druids.
Not a sex druid.
It says Wu-Tang sex druid. I'm looking at I think something
yes.
that either you put up or someone put up that says I was an undead Wu-Tang sex druid.
Yeah, the sex word was added by the curator of that blog, but I think it's just to get people excited about the writing that I did.
Yeah, I was an undead Wu-Tang sex druid, and then they have the picture of you sitting with Ghostface with his legs wide open on a couch. So I think that is bad implications that they're trying to bring you down with.
Yeah, these are some frightening pictures if you all were to check these out.
Well, she's a druid.
I was an undead mystical druid priestess.
Ghostface, so. Type 1 diabetic, shout out. What's up?
So what, describe this. I'm very confused as to what took place here. What did you all do on stage? You all just dance around them with candles?
We did no dancing.
Okay.
We, the plot of his show and his, have you heard his latest album?
No.
Oh, it's really great.
12 Reasons to Die, it's a concept album where he's a murdered mafioso or something. It's kind of loose, but yeah, he's
all the music is it's like a real stylized like cinematic. Kind
it's
of
by
music.
The guy by the guy who did the music for Black Dynamite, and it's about him coming back from the dead to exact his vengeance, and so I assume that's where
midway through the show he dies and he goes off stage and And then five women come out and we're in cloaks and we've got blood on our face and we've got a candle and we surround this velvet chair and he sits there with a velvet book and he reads his rap. And we stand there just looking scary at the audience while he raps. Mm-hmm.
So wait a minute. So
it's great.
So was he on tour?
Yes.
So he just handpicks like random... Yeah. Improvising women?
Well, in every town, they ask the venue, I guess, can you find five women to stand around me with candles?
That's interesting. I know one of these girls, actually.
Which one?
Her name's Elisa. I know her.
Oh, nice. Yeah, she works at the Abbey Pub.
She's cool.
She's great.
She said to me, Brian, she said, you inspired me to do stand-up. I was like, what?
She is an odd speaking voice.
She's great. Like,
can I take your order?
I was like, oh my God, I'm touched.
How did, what? Why would she, how did she, how did
we both went to college together. So,
oh.
Back when I was doing stand up at Columbia. So, she introduced me and I went up stage and I did my friend Kelly and though, you know, which is just a bunch of impressions into a microphone. And I guess it was a hit.
That's awesome.
I guess. I don't know. But this is awesome. This is amazing.
Yeah, it was a ton of fun. We got to get all gussied up. We had really scary ghostly makeup on. And then the woman who sings in his band put our cloaks on us. And then we ran through it a couple times. But pretty much we were just sitting in the green room until we got to go on stage and surround him with creepy candles.
Did you get to talk to him?
Yeah.
Okay. How does he talk in person? Because I have a theory about these rappers, but... I first want to know what he sounded like.
I mean, they were late. Gosh, they didn't start for like 2 hours.
A rapper late.
One time I went to a Ghostface show, literally 3 hours late or four. I can't remember which one it was, but it was at Joe's Bar and you just have to sit and like wait. And it's like, you know, you guys don't have to give in to the stereotypes, right guys? You can rap about them, but come on.
They're superstars, though. Come on. They can afford to be late because they know the audience is going to wait for them.
Oh, they'll definitely wait. Yeah.
As they're popping their Cristal.
No.
No Cristal was popped, yeah, this I hate is, to say.
No, I mean the rapper in their limousine, their stretch limousine, as they're taking their time to get to the venue.
Mm. In the heyday, in the mid to late 90s, perhaps, but...
Not now, I don't think.
Hennessy. They drink Hennessy, I know that.
I think it's Bud Light.
No.
Well, no, Ghostface doesn't drink, I don't think, because he's a strict Muslim and vegetarian and diabetic.
Yeah, he was pretty, I mean, I didn't see him
take an insulin
eating any
shot?
Candy or anything.
When Wu-Tang comes to Chicago, I know that they hit the vegan soul food place. So next time Wu-Tang's in town, just hang out there, guys, and you'll see the W rolling through, Clan in the front.
So did you get his autograph?
I didn't get his autograph.
You didn't?
No.
She's professional. She's like, oh, you have to pretend like it's not a big deal.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, but I guess it's also like, what the hell are you going to get him to sign? A piece of paper? And what are you going to do with the piece of paper?
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it. Like, we've got, someone's calling?
Yeah, let's see who the hell this is. Hey, yo, what's up, person? How are you?
Man, I'm just doing what I do best, man. I win, brother.
Oh, hey, is this who I think it is?
This is Supreme Eugene.
Hey, Supreme Eugene. Now, this is a comedian. He's called in on the show before.
Hi, Supreme.
He's a local comedian here in Chicago. Joining us in the studio right now, just to let you know, Supreme, Irene Marquette.
Hello.
She's joining us in the studio. As well as my co-host, who, do you remember his name?
Yo, I am doing what I do best. Yeah, well, I only just called. Yeah, go ahead.
No. What brings you to call in, Supreme?
I just called in to borrow some money from you.
Oh.
You
really? Really? You want some money? How much do you need?
I only need like $150.
Why do you need it, Supreme? Why do you need the money?
Pussy ain't that high these days. So I only need about $150 worth.
So wait a minute. So you're going to use the money that I will give you. I will gladly, you know, you give me your PayPal account and I'll give you the money. Now, you're going to use my money to buy some vaginals?
Nah, I ain't gonna buy no vaginal. I'm gonna buy some pussy.
Oh.
Completely different things here. So wait a minute. Now, you know, I'm sorry. Look, I'm sorry, Supreme. Like, I was totally on board with giving you money, but if it's going towards prostitution, I can't do that, man.
Nah, I ain't gonna use it for prostitution. I ain't gonna use it for prostitution. I got to pay my rent. I'm late on the rent, and the rent man looking for me.
Why did you say that to begin with? You didn't have to go with offensive words.
Yeah, you didn't have to sound like some...
like, well, I need a woman in the sex industry to come and have sex with me for money.
But you know, I gotta pay the rent, man. You know, he getting out of jail in another 3 days, you know, so he... Yeah. Because that counterfeit money I gave him didn't work out too well, so, you know, he...
That'll come back to bite you.
Yeah. The counterfeit money didn't work out too well, so it dissolved in his hand. I mean, what happened there?
Hey, look, I told him not to take that shit to the bank, but he wouldn't listen.
You shouldn't say that to your landlord.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't.
I'm going to pay for my rent in cash. Don't take this to a bank.
Bro, he's a goddamn idiot. How you going to walk in the bank with purple money? You know what I mean?
So you just took money from, like, the game Sorry.
Or, yeah, or you went to Brazil, cloned their money.
Wow, that
Do
is...
Do they have purple money in Brazil?
Yeah, they got all colorful money.
That, I believe that.
That's a very round...
Carnival.
That's a very roundabout way to not pay your rent, to fly out to Brazil, find their money, and then make counterfeit Brazilian dollars, then go back and give it to your landlord.
He's probably smuggling something. Let's just say that.
What kind of job do you have, Supreme?
What kind of job I got?
Yeah, what's your job?
Why you all in my business?
Just trying to make conversation.
Damn you nosy.
No.
I say about white women. That's what I say about white women. If y'all was nosy, if you would have been nosy enough like you always is, y'all would have found out that man was holding them girls hostage for 10 years. With your nosy,
unnosy
ass.
See, now, Supreme. Now, that's not anyone's fault in this studio. Okay, I'll tell you that
and
right
the
now.
The logic doesn't make sense because you're saying white women are nosy, so why wouldn't they? But you're saying that they weren't being nosy in the right way, or are you saying that their nosiness has gone down, and that's why the 10 years the man was able to keep them hostile? Okay, so you're advocating white women get more nosy because of crime stopping.
Yeah, which
I can advocate that. I think everyone, men, women, whatever.
Back in the day, a white woman see every goddamn thing. You can't stop her from seeing.
That's true.
You know, Supreme, you seem to be an expert on white women. Like, what? How are you such an expert?
Because I got one.
Oh, really?
Just one? And then you base, she's just your mean, like your median, and be like, well, this is it. This is the white, this is how white women are. Boom.
No, I got one at the bank where I work at.
So there you go.
Oh, good. We just find out what his job
is. He works at a bank.
Yeah.
What enlightening conversation.
Or robs. Which one?
I don't know.
No, I work there on the weekends robbing the motherfucker.
I know it. So Saturdays only, because banks are only open on Saturdays. So he's a Saturday
robber. Well, Sunday is a day of rest.
Saturday robber. Yeah. Oh, that sounds like a light rock song.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's
Saturday
right.
Might be by
only on the weekend,
the Beach Boys.
Baby. Only on the weekend.
It's like afternoon delight.
That's why I know my white woman personally. She's my personal banker. I rock.
Personal banker is another good name
personal
for us. I love song.
Personal banker. She puts my slots. Upright.
I don't know.
Yeah, you do.
Deposits, some
there you go.
Statements.
There's like not withdrawals.
She's really good at math.
Yeah. She is. I mean, we've become more dependent on calculators.
So Supreme, what brings you to bombard us with your exploits on the streets of Chicago?
Well, I ain't been exploited in a while since I been living out in Aurora. I'm out here in the country.
The country, Aurora. Where there's just fields of wheat. It's like a Steinbeck novel.
I'm out in the country.
Why?
And this is some absolute bullshit.
You seem to be very upset about it.
I would be upset if I was in Aurora.
Do you not have a car?
No, I don't.
So you're stuck in Aurora. So you're stuck up there.
I live in Aurora, and I don't have a car. My life sucks.
Sounds like it.
Matter of fact,
yeah.
If you had a life I could borrow, I'd give it right back when I'm done with it.
Poor guy. Oh man!
You have to choose. You have to take one of our lives or $150. You can't have both.
Yeah, yeah. This is we're his only lifeline to the outside. He's just in Aurora. It's not like Wayne's World made it look.
No, it's no, not even close.
No, it's they used to have the Higgs.
Pit of sorrow and despair.
Yes, they
existential
had the
crisis.
The giant super collider, but then they left.
The Hadron Collider?
Yeah, they had that in Aurora.
And then they
and
said
now it's
Switzerland.
Just, yeah, and now it's, and that, seriously, I've seen it. It's just a building that's empty. Like, it's weird. Like, it looks like
oh my gosh.
They created the singularity and just blew it up.
We could have had the God particle.
I know, but they were like, nope, we're going to Switzerland. God likes Switzerland. God hates America. Maybe Fred Phelps is right all along.
What the fuck are y'all talking about?
Read a book.
This is probably like Ghost
This is
behind. This is just like being
No. Supreme brings up a good point.
Hey,
what is his point?
100. I just keep it 100. You know, so I didn't
he was totally lost for a moment there. Mm-hmm. You all were talking about supreme particles.
Yeah.
Not the Supreme Particle. Not that Supreme.
Supreme Particle is a good new name.
It is a good new name.
What is it, Eugene Particle?
Instead of Supreme Eugene, he's become the Supreme Particle. Like, he's just a beam of light. I think you should really think of that. That's good, Supreme Particle, because you're the beginning of life and you're a beam.
What?
Now I know for a fact what I got to do. I was contemplating suicide before this call. I got to go ahead. Carry it out.
Oh no. Look, don't say that. I don't want to be held responsible just in case you do.
No, hell no. All right,
Eugene. So
good luck acquiring the pussy that you so
go on
desire.
Go then go stop.
There's tons in Aurora.
Like there's females in Aurora, tons. But don't start with
lots of housewives out there.
Yeah, but they're wives. Like, try to go to a bar, just meet.
They're desperate.
There are a lot of housewives out here. They're in the goddamn house.
Stay out of their house.
You know, don't intrude.
They're nosy.
I gotta take this call. It's
a booty call. All right. Okay, we'll talk to you later, Eugene.
Thanks for calling.
Take care.
Bye.
All right. So that
was the most respectful Eugene's ever been.
Really?
To a female guest. And yeah. When he called, I was just like,
respect.
Oh, Christ, Irene's really going to leave now.
Yeah.
But no, I think he was the worst with Maggie.
Yeah.
When he was called her, when he wanted to ride her like a horse.
Yeah, we're going to prepare.
I would probably leave.
Yeah, we're going to prepare
and then the
a compilation.
Other Monique Madrid. That was the first time where he really.
Yeah, we're going to prepare a compilation of this guy.
For the authorities.
For the show. Just so we have a track record out there.
Just for when the FBI finally does.
For Eugene. Well, that's why he probably changes his name so often, so that they can't track him.
He used to be Comedian Major.
Yeah. And Master
then was,
Major.
Then he was Master Major.
Yeah.
Now he's Supreme Eugene.
Yeah. Now he's Supreme Eugene.
The dancing machine.
No, he said he doesn't like to dance.
Well, I didn't think you. Okay.
Well, you said dancing machine. I'm just letting you know. Because I rhymed that too. And he's like, man, I don't like to dance, man.
See, what's amazing is. You had just asked Irene, what do those rappers talk like? Because I have a theory.
Yeah.
And then we got
20-minute detour.
Yes. And then we got him on the phone.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that that was you that helped bring you back.
Was that
I didn't. I don't know. We just talked normal.
Oh.
Is that a disappointment?
No.
There was
this creepy
photographer who was in the room, and he came in, and he's like 2 hours later than he should have been. First of all, it's crazy to me that a show would go on that late, but I understand. He's earned the respect. We will wait for
Wu-Tang him. Wu-Tang time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
in fact, that's when they were...
Wu-Tang is different.
That's Wu-Tang time!
When they were touring with Rage Against the Machine in support of Wu-Tang Forever, like, they just wouldn't show up, or like four of them would show up.
Oh, my God.
And it's also like when you have... First of all, they had 9 members, one of which is ODB. You can't really keep these people together. And yeah, it's Wu-Tang Clan. They're busy.
They're superheroes.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah.
But when they form they form like Voltron.
Superhuman is like the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah.
If for female improvisers.
They're like the human versions of the Thundercats, is what I would consider them.
Yeah, because...
We all have our names.
Give me sight beyond sight!
Because Cabadonna did become the 10th Wu-Tang Clan member, so therefore, you can have that. The 10, you are the Wu-Tang of improvisation.
Thanks.
You should use it.
I want to start that.
You have to figure out who is whom.
We are our own. We've got our own name. We've got our own names.
But you're Wu-Tang.
Well, they're not Wu-Tang.
No, I know, but if you have to be like...
Analogous?
Yes, you're analogous to it. But you have to be like, I'm like the Ghostface Killer, or I'm the Inspector Deck of these people.
Okay. I'm like the Ghostface Killer, or I'm like the Jizza.
Okay, you could be just... You play chess? He does. His name was just the Genius.
Is that what it stood for?
No, it was first he just called himself the Genius. His first album was called Words from the Genius. This is before Wu-Tang, and then he became Genius. That was the second album. Then it was Jizza Genius.
Yeah, Jizza.
Yeah,
that's gross, man.
RZA the Jizza.
Stop saying that. That's gross. The
old dirty Bizza.
Oh, that's even more gross. Isn't he dead?
He is. He's passed away.
Okay, let's make it so.
ODB. Live for his
make it
RIP.
So.
Rest in peace.
You didn't know that?
I knew that.
Oh, okay.
Of course I did.
All right. I was going to call Ghostface and be like,
No.
I just be like, you know Irene? He's like, hell yeah. He's like, I know Irene. Know what I'm saying? Boom. I'm
going to get my boy Eugene on him.
Yeah.
So what is your theory about, like, they're speaking voices.
No, I think he just answered it.
Oh.
but what's his face? What was that guy's
Supreme
name?
Eugene?
If you listen to Raekwon's first album, Only Built
the
for
Chef?
Cuban Links. Yeah, Raekwon. Irene's very excited when she knows rap trivia.
I do.
Ooh, the Chef? Raekwon the Chef? Yes. Blood on Chef's Apron? You can hear them in between speaking to one another, and I defy anyone to understand what they're talking about, because he's like, listen to this, son, know what I'm saying? Boom, I got the cranes, know what I'm saying? But here's what I'm going to do. Boom.
But that's just for the show. Just for show. I'm telling you, these rappers, they talk differently in person. All right?
They just have...
Like Kanye and Jay-Z is the best example of it. If you see them communicating with each other, it's like two lizards that just met each other for the first time.
No idea what that means.
Well, YouTube it, dude. YouTube two lizards mean for... Yeah.
Like, and they're like, what's up? And they're like, The Rock. The Rock is what's up.
You gotta... YouTube two lizards meeting for the first time.
I will and Watch the Throne.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes stuff will pop up. Is that what you're saying?
Some of that might pop up.
Okay,
lizards in Paris. And they go in gorilla.
Oh, man. It's time for...
Really?
Plugs!
Eugene ate up all
You're listening to Rye Bread Radio, the last voice of reason in a sea of fools. And now, with these fools, Akeem Lawrenson and the Rye Guys.
Hey, dumb folks, it's time for a plug. So, Irene, what do you got to plug?
Oh, I guess improvised Star Trek podcast, Superhuman. You can always go to my website, irenemarquette.com. I also do a lot of solo performance, and I've been a part of a couple art festivals. There's one going on now that I'm involved with, and I've got another one coming up in June. It's weird to talk about that. Well, is this Bare Naked Ladies?
No.
Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
That's right.
The best band in the world. Hello.
Dickie Barrett?
What did I what it?
Dickie Barrett? Isn't
Who
is he
that?
Mighty
I have
Mighty
no
Boss
idea.
Tone?
I think so.
The only song I know
I
of theirs
like
is what's playing right now. This is all I know.
I know Raekwon the Chef, and I know people from Mighty Mighty Boston, so I'm well-rounded.
Yes.
I don't know. I've got a bunch of... I always have a lot of projects going on. I'm also a director, and I teach at The Annoyance, so if you want to take an improv class, you can have a class with me. I don't know.
Are you ever not busy? Like, is there a day where you're not busy?
I try to keep...
Do you have nights where you're...
Yeah, well, like, Thursdays are usually nights where I'm free. Mm-hmm. So that's why I could do this, which is
awesome.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you for doing
so
it.
Much.
You were awesome.
Thank
yes.
You.
All right. I'm glad you weren't offended by Weirdo McGee that called in.
Oh, no.
He was listening to the show, so I guess he heard something about rappers, and I guess he called in. Man, this would be a perfect time for me to just introduce myself.
I honestly don't think he was listening.
He's probably one of the people in the chat room. I don't know.
Because he didn't.
Oh, what are people in the chat room saying? Any questions from them?
They ain't saying nothing. They ain't saying. I'm not
there,
even looking at the chat room, but yeah. It's just people that want to listen to it live. It's like if it were a radio show.
Eugene is usually more prepared. Like, it sounded seriously like his will like has been sapped. Like it really sounded like being in Aurora
Yeah, he did. Because
usually he like comes out the gate and he's always got this high energy, but then he's like, I'm in Aurora. Like he didn't really have a strong. He's like, I need money, and then he couldn't figure out why he needed money. Like he just knew that he was gonna say that.
Yeah.
Ugh. Poor
well,
Eugene.
Hopefully he'll be more prepared next time.
Back on your feet, Eugene. Oh, that's please. His new name.
We don't want him calling in.
Eugene, just beat it out before you call up.
Oh, gross. Don't tell him to do that.
No, I mean, like in an outline.
I'm beating it right now.
Oh, yeah, geez. Okay.
And I'm calling in.
Like, please, Eugene. No, don't beat. But I want to thank you for joining us.
Is it
us,
over?
Irene. Yeah, it's done.
Oh, all right.
Thank you for doing it.
You got it.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone. Thanks,
is that how we got in?
I don't know. IreneMarquette.com.
Yeah.
You can follow her on Twitter as well.
RyeBreadRadio.com.
I'm Irene Chicago on Twitter and Instagram and Tumblr. Irene, yep, that's me.
Yeah, so this episode is toast. We are going to be doing special episodes next week for the podcast since we're going to be one episode short. Just to let you guys know, this episode will premiere. I don't know. Might premiere on Friday, but then we're going to have zero episodes for next week. We're going to do a best of for you guys, 30-minute best ofs. Hope you guys like them. So, yeah, we will see you guys when, Brian, when are we going to see them?
Next time! On The Bread.
Boom. Bye!
This episode.
Bye, thanks for having me.
Thank you, Irene.
Especially toast. We'll see you guys. Bye.
See, it's like we can't end this right.
Is it still on?
Yeah. There we go.
What is it? We're still doing it. What do you want to do, Brian?
Bye, guys. Have a Wu-Tang is forever. Wu-Tang is for the babies.
For the children.
Yeah, and Wu-Tang is for the babies.
Toast.
Bye. Toast.